My name is Stephen Guy. I'm at Washington State University, and I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about a study that has been conducted. Well, I started at actually the University of Idaho, which is, you know, the two universities are very close together, so I transitioned over to Washington State University 3 years ago and finished up this study in that period of time. And believe it or not, Mary Lauber came along with me as a technician, so we had good continuity in the study. If you're not familiar with the area, Washington State University is located in Pullman. University of Idaho in Moscow is right across the line in Idaho, and this study was conducted just south of there near Genesee, Idaho, in the Palouse area of the region. It's a high production winter wheat area, predominant crop in the area. There's very steep slopes. The soil type and landforms were created by windblown loess, and as a result, the soils are deep and very productive. And because of those steep slopes, reduced tillage and keeping high amounts of residue on the soil is very effective at reducing erosion, which is a large problem for us. But by going to those reduced or direct seeding systems, we don't have a lot of good information about management, especially of hard wheat varieties that we can grow in the area. Hence this the need for this study. So it's located at the Cambridge Farm, which is a University of Idaho research farm just north of Genesee, Idaho. There's two tillage treatments within the study, a conventional treatment, which, although it's called conventional, is probably what we consider a conservation system as well, by chiseling, cultivating, and planting. The no-till system was no disturbance except for planting. The tillage treatments within this trial was established in the year 2000, so 5 years before the nutrient part of this study was conducted. The tillage systems were in place, so we went into a mature tillage system to do these studies from 2006 to 2010. The management of the crop was uniform between the tillage systems, and the nitrogen fertilizer variable within that management was applied to the variety Scarlet, which is a well-adapted variety for the area. Base fertilizer was applied through the planter at 36, 45, and 31 kilograms per hectare for nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur. And the variable rates beyond that were then surface applied by hand to give us a variable fertilizer rates from 56 to 197 kilograms per hectare. As an additional factor within another factor within the experiment was timing of the application of those fertilizer treatments. It was either all applied at planting, split applied at 70% of the nitrogen fertility applied at planting and 30% at anthesis, or applied at planting plus a 22 kilogram per hectare foliar application, which is a very common practice to boost up protein in our hard red wheats. So it became a factorial experiment. Main factor is the two tillage treatments and subplots beyond that as six nitrogen rates and three timings, all in four replications. So what this looked like in the field, the tillage treatments ran across the field like this. There's a slope running back into the picture here, and and replications going this way. It's a three-year rotation with winter wheat followed by spring wheat and then dry pea, which is another common crop in the region, and so on for a three-year rotation. So the plot area was shifted accordingly as the rotations ran through the field. The chiseling was done in the fall after wheat harvest, and the cultivation was conducted before planting. So we had a fall chisel, and then for the spring planted crop, cultivation was done in the springtime, usually two passes with a cultivator harrow combination, and then planted with a small plot planter so we could get the nitrogen treatments on in defined areas. The stand establishment between the two tillage systems, we did stand counts all throughout the course of the studies and did not find any differences in stand establishment. A visual observation of growth, though, The no-till tended to grow a little bit slower, probably because cooler temperatures from more cover on the soil than in the conventional till. This is the conventional here and the no-till up here. Now, just looking at the main effect of no-till and conventional till across the 5 years of the study and then as an average, there's little differences in some years. Some years there's an advantage of conventional till over no-till. The opposite in 2008 when no-till outperformed conventional till. This was a dry year, and that happened. And in 2010 we also had some stress and the similar kind of response. And as you can tell, there's a good possibility, and there was an interaction of year and response. So what I'd like to show you now is a series of graphs showing the response of nitrogen fertilizer rate for the two tillage systems relative to grain yield. And in 2006, there was more of a response in no-till than conventional till. Conventional till actually had a fairly low response to nitrogen fertility. The next year, conventional till also outperformed no-till, and not a lot of response in either one. In 2008 was the dry year, and very little response in conventional till, a little more in no-till. The largest response in 2009, one of our high productivity years, but again, more of a response from our low to high rates of fertility in no-till than in conventional till. And 2010, essentially no response in conventional till, but some response in no-till. So if you add all those together and average it across that time period, we had about twice the response to the nitrogen fertility in no-till versus conventional till. And regression analysis across this data shows that regressions for no-till and conventional till were not different in position, but were different in slope, significantly different in slope, so showing a larger response in no-till versus conventional till. Similar, we also took biomass evaluations on the plots, a similar kind of response curve compared to the yield response. And some of the grain quality issues associated between the two tillage systems, grain density or test weight, declined as fertilizer rate increased. This is a fairly common response that we see as fertilizer rates increase. And regressions of these two lines show that the no-till was a significantly higher in position than conventional till, but the slopes of the two regression lines were not different. Similarly, for seed weights, similar response, and that follows along certainly with grain density is going to seed weights, a decline in seed weights across nitrogen fertility rates. Now, an important critical factor, of course, in all hard grain marketing is protein. So we want to have a high protein level. We'll get more money. That's certainly a dollar return for the growers. And the no-till had lower protein across the rate as well, going from a low of 10, which is well below what anybody wants to see in spring, hard red spring, only up to 12% protein. Starting at 11, going up to about 13. So these were also parallel but different in position. Regression of those showed a slope or response of 0.133% protein for each 10 kilograms of nitrogen applied, kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. And in the no-till, essentially the same slope. So growers can go back and calculate if we put this much more nitrogen on, this is the amount of protein that we can expect to in this area. So as a summary, yields were variable among years, but overall they were similar between no-till and conventional till, and this applied to the other crops that we had in rotation as well. We were able to achieve similar yields between the no-till and conventional till systems. Nitrogen fertility impacts no-till more than conventional till. We had more response to fertilizer, applied fertilizer in no-till. Started lower and went higher as far as all the responses were concerned. And looking at that overall, a reasonable expectation would be we'd need about 30 kilograms more per hectare of nitrogen fertilizer and optimized yield with no-till versus conventional till. And if we want equivalent protein, it's going to take close to 60 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen more in the no-till system. And if you think about where that nitrogen might be accounted for in the system, the soil scientist was working on the project showed an increase in organic matter relative to the no-till versus the conventional till. And if we're going to be building organic matter, we're going to have nitrogen to support that shift. So we need more nitrogen in the no-till system. I didn't talk any about the split applications because we didn't see very good response to those split applications. But I can say for a fact in looking at the data analysis that applying the foliar nitrogen did not matter for yield or protein at all. So if you took that amount of nitrogen and applied it at the time of planting, you'll see equivalent amounts of yield and protein versus doing that foliar application, which our growers like to do, but if they could save themselves the cost of that application, if they just put it on at the time of planting instead. I believe a lot of this response that we see in this experiment, as far as differences in seed size and protein, going to the grain filling period, which I believe is extended a little bit in the no-till system because of more late-season available water, to affect yield, test weight, seed size, and that, as a result, then lowers the protein content as well. And maybe the easy solution then for our growers, instead of raising hard red, especially in no-till, is to raise some high-quality soft white instead and save a little bit on trying to get that protein into the grain and spending a lot more on nitrogen. But with a big cost differential between those two crop classes, they're very much incentivized to try to grow hard reds. So with that, I'm glad to take any questions. Yes, sir. No, it was randomized within the field. All the treatments were randomized within the same experiment.
About over years.
Well, the plot area was a defined plot area, and that moved across within the plot according to rotation. I'll show you my last slide here, and you can see the three crops within the field. So the spring wheat then the next year went where the winter wheat was the previous year, as part of the rotation as we move across the field. And in this slide, you can see as the crop is maturing, this is a conventional till strip right here with a no-till strip right above it. You can see the differences in green and dry down at the end of the year here. Over in the peas, the same kind of thing. Here's a no-till next to conventional till. You can see the tillages out there just by the way the crop is drying down in the fall, showing that there's a little bit more water available to keep it going, because water tends to be limiting for us in the middle of the summer in this area. Other question? I think I'm right on time, so thank you.